Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Richard, today's article comes from Spectrum, and that is a website that is dedicated to providing news and information about autism spectrum disorders. Cleverly named.
Aptly named Spectrum.
Spectrum News. Mm-hmm. Right. And the title is Autism Meeting Evolves to Address Needs of People on the Spectrum.
Right.
And so it's all about obviously the long-term needs of individuals with who have been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder.
That's right. And what this was written by Shannon DeRoche-Rosa, who is the managing editor of a publication called Thinking Person's Guide to Autism.
Yeah.
And she, in addition to being the managing editor, is also the parent of a child, well, a young adult now, with autism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, what she's bringing to light, what she wants to shine some light on in this post, is that traditionally research in autism has been about people with autism,
right. And
it has focused on causes and the disorder as it exists in children, young infants and young children. And the meeting, the important organizational meeting, which is called the International Society for Autism Research, is only now beginning to introduce presentations and sessions and bring in experts who talk about autism as a lifespan problem, not just a clinical diagnosis where we're doing research and medications and causes and neuroimaging. But what she's saying is what's needed is more information about what do we do about this across the lifespan.
Right.
And quality of life and support services.
Right. Yeah, because I think that, you know, the first thing that we have to recognize, and we talked about this beginning Monday, that autism spectrum disorder, by definition, is a spectrum. You know,
exactly.
there are those who are extremely impaired, and then there are those who are relatively well adapted, and they function relatively well, and I think that, you know, while we have certainly seen examples of those that are pretty impaired, we were just talking about this just before we started, a sort of theatrical example of that was
Rain Man
from Dustin Hoffman's character in that movie, which is based on a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look for that documentary, there's a documentary about him, he was an adult man who was very dependent upon his father, and it was he was very had a lot of needs, all the way to people like Temple Grandin
who comes to mind,
right?
You know, and she talks about, well, I overcame autism, but she had a very mild, if she has autism, had a very mild form of autism,
right.
And that's the thing about the spectrum, the important aspect of the spectrum is that there are going to be people with very mild symptoms and people with very severe symptoms.
Right.
And we have to meet the needs of everybody on the spectrum.
Right. And I'm sure that, you know, Temple Grandin would argue that, you know, she certainly has it and has had challenges and struggles. Absolutely.
Right.
She has a great TED talk where she kind of goes through some of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of that, you know, the struggles she had were very different than those that, you know, the person who's who Rain Man was based after.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and even Rain Man wasn't the most severe because he was very verbal, whereas a lot of individuals with autism are nonverbal. They do not communicate verbally at all.
Right.
So again, there is this massive spectrum, and because of that spectrum, the relative long-term needs are going to vary. You know, whereas someone like Temple Grandin has become self-sufficient. You know, she functions well. She can. She has employment. She's well educated.
Large animal veterinarian. You know,
right. So she does really, really well for herself. There are those who are going to be absolutely, completely dependent upon someone else for the rest of their life.
That's right. Yesterday in our diagnosis, we talked about the five domains of development that you want to investigate. And one of them is cognitive development, okay? And Temple Grandin obviously has high cognitive development because she was able to complete college and professional school. There are other individuals with autism who can't earn a high school diploma, a regular high school diploma. So there are all these differences, not only in the symptoms of autism, but also in those five developmental domains. And specifically, the two that are causing difficulties would be the cognitive development. You know, what is your cognitive development, and also speech and language, and your ability to interact socially.
Right, because one of the best predictors, and this comes with a bit of a caveat, one of the best predictors of positive prognosis is language and intellectual ability, cognitive ability. The caveat is that we're talking about those two skills based upon what we can measure. You know, there are those who argue, and I think rightfully so, that even those individuals with who are nonverbal and who do not speak at all, you know, many of them may have really strong abilities, really strong cognitive skills in specific domains. But because they're nonverbal or because of other reasons, we simply can't tap into that and really assess that. And so, you know, the key to this is that when we're talking about cognitive abilities and language abilities, we're talking about what we can evaluate, because what we can evaluate and the way that we evaluate predict educational outcome and outcomes and you know, occupational and employment types of outcomes. And so, because we can't measure what those others have, you know, they tend to not do as well because the tools we have predict the things that we're looking for, and you know.
And we've learned over time that IQ is. Why do we give IQ tests? Because they predict how well you're going to do in school.
Right.
And so that's that's their biggest value, and they do. They really do do that.
Right.
I mean, in large groups of people, that's exactly what they do. My introduction to the lifespan questions. Was a book called A Place for Noah. And it was written by Josh Greenfeld, who's a writer and screenwriter, actually. He had written he wrote the screenplay for a movie called Harry and Tonto years ago. Now, this book was written in 1972.
Right.
Okay. And when I began in those years, I was still in school before you were born, right? I won't say where I was in my educational career, whether it was third grade or graduate school, but we read, that was our introduction to the challenges faced by families. And this was a family of Josh Greenfeld, a writer, his wife from Japan, who was a writer, and their older son, Carl. And it was about the struggles they had. They lived in California. And at that time, Ivar Lovaas had a clinic at UCLA, and they were doing these strict behavioral programs for kids with autism, and they sent him there, and it failed. And no matter where they, and also their son had very severe symptoms and was very difficult to manage, had anger outbursts. So it seems, and low intellectual abilities, low language abilities, and it was their struggle over several years of finding a place for him, because in 1972, there wasn't a place for Noah. They're just, nobody dealt with this disorder. And it's about the struggles that the family had in dealing with this. And eventually, Josh Greenfeld wrote about it. His wife won a literary award because she wrote about Noah. And their son, Carl, had planned to go to college and become a writer. Guess what he was going to write about? So it consumed this family. That's what the story was about. And so I think Rain Man is a good, because what happens to Raymond when his parents die? Who takes care of him? His brother did for a while, but his brother needed a life too, okay? And there was a follow-up article in Time magazine years ago about what happened to Raymond after his parents died and his brother. But he had to be taken care of by others.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is a lifelong challenge. So the point that that this woman makes in the article is a good one. And she's happy that since 2015, the leading research organizations are beginning to include some of these other issues about quality of life. And she makes a list of them in this article. It's just quality of life. What do you do about housing?
Right.
What do you do about employment? Mm-hmm. What do you do about medications? Because some of the, some folks are going to be taking medications for comorbid disorders.
Right.
Who's going to manage those medications and medication side effects? Sleep is a huge problem.
Intimate relationships.
Intimate relationships.
Right.
You know, who's dealing with that?
Mm-hmm.
And we tend not to spend much time talking about those things because the more interesting stuff is neuroimaging and genetic research, all of which is important.
Right.
But let's not forget that these are individuals and families struggling with this disorder.
Right. And I think another important aspect of the long-term need is the care of the caregivers, you know, because, you know, if you're the parent of a child with, you know, on that severe end of the autism spectrum, you're going to, this is going to be someone that you'll be responsible for years. And then you are going to have to make those difficult decisions as far as whether the adult stays in your home versus, a long-term residential facility versus, another family member's house and you're going to be managing all of those things. And, and we've talked before on the podcast about the sandwich generation, the generation of adults right now who are caring for their elderly parents, but also caring for their kids.
Right.
You're going to be in a situation perhaps where you're going to have very long-term expectations of care for, a disabled child.
Yeah. Two other things. Kudos to the increasing number of organizations that are having low sensory events for people with autism.
Movie theaters and different places.
Who are having special nights. I think Chuck E. Cheese, E. Cheese, and certain movie theaters, and I think even some shopping malls or grocery stores or something are having special nights for families of children with autism because there's too much sensory overload, okay? The other thing I think that we should mention is that just because when we talk about cutting programs, cutting taxes and cutting programs like Medicare and Social Security and all those things, remember that we're cutting services to people like Noah's parents and Raymond's parents who really do need help. It's not their fault that they had this child.
Right.
Okay. And I think as a society, there should be some obligation.
Right.
Certainly, I'll share whatever money I make with them. And I think most Americans would feel that way. So before we congratulate ourselves for tax cuts and for cutting these programs, remember, it's Noah's parents and Raymond's parents who are being affected by that.
Right.
Okay. So another topic for another day, I guess.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So, all right. Well, that is it for today. But before we go, we want to again mention an event coming up very soon in our area, and that is the Theater Winter Haven, Coming Out of the Darkness, A Concert of Hope, and that's going to be held on May 24th at 7:30 p.m. and that's a Thursday in just a couple of weeks. Actually, I guess 2 weeks from the day that this podcast goes out.
3 weeks from the podcast.
Two weeks from the podcast. So event is going to be focused on suicide awareness and suicide prevention awareness. It's written and directed by Norm Small, and it's going to be featuring the best of Central Florida talent. The proceeds are going to go to some of the local community-based mental health services, as well as the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So definitely check it out. If you are interested, you can contact Theater Winter Haven, and that's Theatre Winter Haven. Winterhaven.com, and you'll be able to get contact them, and you can get some additional information about any costs. I think it's just a donation at the door if you want. If you want some reserved seatings, I think that there's a fee of $44, which goes to represent the 44,000 who have taken their lives.
Successful.
So definitely check that out if you are in the area. Attend it. It'll be. I've seen the agenda, and it's a great looking. It's going to be a great night.
That's the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. It's the end of the school year. So it would be a great way to begin your Memorial Day weekend.
Absolutely.
Okay? So
absolutely.
Put it on your list.
So check that out. All right. That is it for today. Until next time. Stay happy. Stay healthy. And forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.